forgot to turn the mic on. We're continuing our series in the book of Job. The series is entitled Job, A Life of Hope. And I will tell you, a few weeks ago, when God had me begin this series and approach the book of Job this way, I was a little skeptical because I've never preached a series out of Job. And I thought, Lord, I really have some other things I'd rather be preaching right now, but I'll be obedient to you, of course. Well, today's message is entitled, What is Man? Can I tell you, I think right now a lot of people are really questioning the human race. I'm going to ask my wife, they're on the soundboard, find the one that says computer. It'll be to your right, down to the right, and hit the mute button. There's a mute button by the, above the slide. No, hit the mute button. There's a mute button at the top of the slide. Okay, thank you. That's part of the problem with the technology. My normal techies aren't here, and so my wife's trying to fill in, and I could hear feedback. What is man? You know, that's a question that's not new, and we've got people today with all kinds of answers. Some think we're just a mixture of cells, and we just kind of evolve from some lower form. Others want to dive into the mind of what we are. They think that we're nothing but our mind and all this existential stuff. But I want to show you that it's a question that's been asked for thousands of years. And I want to show you what God says man is. Our text is really out of Job chapter 7. In Job chapters 6 and 7, Job answers his friend. We looked at that a little bit last week. One of his friends comes along and begins to tell him, you're this, you're that, you're something else. And Job begins to answer him. And most of what Job says comes from a man who is defeated and discouraged and depressed. And some of you can relate to that right now. This whole situation we're in right now has really got you down. Well, in Job chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, we find Job says this. He says, what is man? He's talking to God at the moment, and he says, what is man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention, that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? What Job is really saying is, God, why do you even bother with man? We are so insignificant. We are so weak. Why do you even bother with us? You know, in all honesty, I think if we got a better handle on who God really is, we would almost find it, well, we'd almost find ourselves agreeing with Job. But it's not a question just that Job asked. It's also a question that David asked. In Psalm 144, verse 3, David says this. He says, O Lord, what is man that you take, excuse me, I'm misreading that. O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him. Well, let me tell you something. There's times that we have a pretty low opinion of ourselves. But I want to share with you for just a few minutes what God thinks about us. I want to show you how important you are to this God who created everything. Turn all the monitor. Go up to where it says auxiliaries, the red dials above computer, and turn those down. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you how important you and I are to God this morning. And I hope you don't mind that we got a few technical glitches here. We're working out on the fly, okay? Some things we can't prepare for ahead of time. Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. Okay. God has created this entire thing we see, the animals, the air, the birds, the water, the plants, the stars, the moon, the planets, all of this. And then here, it says, then God said, and this is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, having conversation with themselves. Then God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now, I don't think that means specifically in physical appearance, although I believe there is something to that. I believe that God made us in his likeness because we are creative, we have intelligence, we can think, we can reason, we have logic, we have all those things, and we are a triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit. just as this God we serve makes himself known to us as a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, this is what God said to Adam and Eve. This is what God is still saying to us today. Okay, God has not changed his mind about what he expects of us because he created us in his image. Look at this. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. That word subdue means rule over it, take care of it, and use its resources. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw, now listen to this, if you go back and read Genesis 1 and you read through the first part of the creation story, and by the way, when you go to Genesis 2, it's not a different story. In the Hebrew culture, you would tell the story twice from two viewpoints to give a fuller meaning to it. So some try to say that Genesis 2 talks about a different creation. It's not so. It's the same creation. But listen to this. If you read through Genesis 1, every time God created something, it says he looked at it and said it was good. But look what happens when he finishes the sixth day and he looks at what he's done in creating man from the dust of the earth. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Friends, you're not here by accident. This is one of the reasons, for instance, why the church and why Christians so speak out against the act of abortion, because it is aborting something that God holds precious and dear. This is why we stand against what some countries are already starting to do, and they're talking about this thing called euthanasia, where when you are no longer productive or you've reached a certain age that maybe you should be just allowed to be put to death with so-called with dignity. Friends, we are created in the image of God. We are precious and special in his sight. From the very first moment of conception, when those two cells, the egg and the sperm, come together, to the very last breath that God has you take, you are precious in God's sight. What is man? You are the crowning glory of God's creation. Go with me to Psalm 8. David expresses it this way. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Folks, I'll tell you what. You want to overcome the negative effects of this coronavirus situation that many are facing. And I'm talking about the anxiety, the isolation, the discouragement, the depression. Let me tell you what. You want to battle that? Start to praise the Lord. On that drive I had to make this last week, a long drive done in a short period of time, I'll tell you what, I was so grateful for one certain national Christian radio station that I could pick up almost the entire trip. And yes, I got tired of them repeating the same songs after a few hours. But I tell you what, hearing those songs and praising helped to drive away discouragement and fear and anxiety. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Now listen, to this. David asks the question, but then he answers it. What is man that you're mindful of him? Look at the end of verse 5. You have crowned him, speaking of mankind, you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Friends, it's true. We are a type of animal. We are a mammal. If you're not sure what that means, go look up mammal after the sermon. But we're not like all the other animals because, see, if you go back to Genesis 2 and you read where God has allowed a fuller description of his creation of man, it says that he created man out of the dust of the earth and then he breathed his own spirit into our nostrils. That's why we have a soul and a spirit. That's what makes us different from the other animals. That's one of the reasons why we are said to be created in the image of God. God loved us so much that he created us and he breathed into us a bit of himself. That's why even though sin marred that relationship, it didn't totally destroy it because there's still that part of God's breathing himself into us. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. The writer of the Hebrews says, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified," and here he quotes David from Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made," and I'll throw in this word to clarify this, "who was also made a little lower than the angels. He is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." What is man? We are the ones that are so loved by God. John 3:16, so familiar and yet so true. "For God so loved the world," not the planet, not this ball of dirt and water and fire and all this that spins through space, the world, us, people, mankind. "He so loved us that he gave us his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." What is man? We are so beloved of God the Father that his Son came and became one of us so that we could have a right relationship with the Father once again. So what is man? Well, let me wrap it up with this. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called..." Are you ready for this? "Children of God." Now, we could go a lot of directions here. Paul talks about being adopted, and you have to understand the term adoption in the Roman mindset of Paul's day. It wasn't just little children that could be adopted. A lot of wealthy people would adopt an adult servant or an adult craftsman or someone of that nature and bring them into the family, make them a son, so that they could literally lavish great wealth upon them. Do you realize that God the Father has adopted me and you, and the Word of God tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus. A joint heir. Not just one of the heirs that gets a little bit tossed to him of the leftovers. We are joint heirs. Everything that God the Father has given to the Son, Jesus Christ, he's made available to us. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Now, I'm going to make a controversial statement right here. Not every person alive right now or that has ever lived is a child of God. The writer to the Hebrews and Paul and John and James and Luke and the others that wrote the books of the New Testament will tell you not every human being is a child of God. To become a child of God means that you have repented of your sin, you've asked Jesus Christ to come live in your heart and to be your Lord and Savior, and you are walking in obedience to the Word of God. That's what makes you a child of God. Being born a human child does not make you automatically a child of God. I know that some will disagree with that. I hope that if you do, that you'll take time to really dig into the Word of God and discover that the true children of God are those who are walking in obedience to His Word. Let me start that over. Verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Friends, let me tell you something. People are going to love what churches are doing right now to ease their discomfort during this time. But when things get back to normal, they're not going to love us anymore. Because when we proclaim the Word of God, we point out to them, we point out their sinfulness. And they don't like that. But we keep doing the right thing anyway. We keep loving God and we keep loving people. And we try to bring them to a point where they can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. What is John saying? He says, look, those of us that have accepted this gift of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're walking in obedience, we're children of God. And the world's not going to understand that. They're not going to recognize that unless they also begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. And the truth is, we don't even understand everything that God the Father has for us. But there is coming a day, listen to me, there is coming a day when we eventually will see Him exactly as He is. Why? Because we will be taken out of this world into His presence. Friends, I'm not going to tell you that this coronavirus pandemic fulfills any specific prophecy, but I do believe that it is setting us up to see more prophecy fulfilled, and I believe Jesus Christ will come for His bride soon. You say, Pastor Randall, what does soon mean? I don't know, because God's timetable does not work like mine. In our timetable, soon means within 2 or 3 years or less. In God's timetable, it might mean 100 years or less. But friends, here's the reality of it. You need to walk with Jesus Christ and begin your relationship or continue and strengthen your relationship now. Because here's the truth of the matter. You and I may not be alive to see the rapture of the church. We may die before that. And friends, when you take that last breath, all opportunity is gone. Do it now. What is man? You are the beloved of God. You are created in God's image. So today, be the recipient of His gift of salvation. And if you are already serving Him, but maybe you've kind of backslid, you've kind of gone your own way, get back to Him today. Ask for forgiveness. Repent, which means to admit you were wrong, and do a U-turn and start in another direction. What is man? We are the beloved of the Father, created in His image. We are beloved of the Son. He gave His life for us. And we are beloved of the Holy Spirit because He dwells within us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us, and He wants to give us guidance and direction each and every day. God bless you. Hey, join me here this Wednesday night at 6:30. For Bible study. Be back with us again next week. If they allow us to open up the churches, be here next week live at 9:30. If we're still online only, join us here at 11. I want to close in prayer. And you have a fantastic day. Don't fear. And when fear starts to creep in, or anxiety or discouragement, find you some good praise music. Close your eyes. And begin to count all the great things that God has done in your life. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Lord God, I pray if there's anyone watching this right now, whether it be on Facebook or YouTube or listening to this message through our church website or through some other means that I'm not aware of right now, Lord God, I pray that if they feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit drawing them to You, that they will simply repent by admitting to You that they are a sinner, asking for Your forgiveness, and then determining and asking for Your presence in their life and Your help for them to walk in obedience to Your word. And Lord God, we'll give you praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer new and it's the first time you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'd like for you to private message me or send me a message. Go to the church website. It's there on the bottom of the page. There is a link on that first page of that website where you can send me an email, and I want to be able to contact you and have a little communication with you and help you in this journey. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for joining us today right here at Clayton AG Church for the rest of us.